This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
Scotty.
Kurt, I am ready to laugh and laugh and laugh.
Okay, well, this one is, this Hawaiian mushroom makes women orgasm just by smelling it.
No way. Yeah. All right, that All mushroom right. is bananas.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Bananas. That's Scotty Landis.
That's Kurt Brownoler, my best bud in the world.
Best buds. We are so excited about our guest. Before we bring my guest on, I do want to say, Scotty, if you remember last week, I asked people to alter my Wikipedia page with information that was not true.
I do recall
and,
this.
And people have been doing a really great job.
Oh, good.
I'm shocked that it's not been canceled. Right now in my personal life, it says Brownoler was born Fart Buttholer in Neptune, New Jersey. In his spare time, Kurt enjoys building artisanal dollhouses. They're inhabited solely by chipmunks. Quote, I like to dress the chipmunks in period costumes, Brownoler told the New York Times. Right now, I'm recreating Marie Antoinette's last ball at Versailles. It's hard to get the chipmunks to stay in costume, but man, is it worth it.
God, great job, Bananimals.
That was really good.
Incredible.
And then one more that's stuck. I'm sure other people have altered it, but, you know, Wikipedia is really good at kicking stuff off. In Kurt's time on and off the stage, he often performs Edgar Allan Poe excerpts around statues in New York City, all yep. made more dramatic by a stuffed crow named Roberta.
Yep.
The crow was a childhood pet, and he learned the art of taxidermy in a gap year from university.
Oh, that sounds like a Brit.
Yep, that sounds like a Brit. Are you ready for your? Are we ready for an introduction of our
Please,
wonderful guest?
She's so wonderful. I'm astounded she would even spend time with us.
I'm so excited. Our guest today is an infectious disease researcher whose Instagram account at King Gutter Baby became a go-to source for explanations of the science behind the pandemic. She is an incredibly effective science communicator, and she's also very funny. Please welcome Laurel Bristow.
Hello! Yay! Thank you for having me.
Hi, Laurel.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for being on.
We're not gonna bother you about masks or washing hands. We're gonna talk about really dumb, silly things from around the world, and we're gonna just give you a break. You're doing the hard work, so the rest of us buffoons can wait and hope a vaccine comes. So this is a little vacation for you.
I love it.
I do want to ask you
all about COVID.
I just have 15 questions about COVID. I do want to ask you when your Instagram account started like taking off, where you're just like, oh, at King Gutter Baby was not a good choice, or were you like, is a perfect choice?
Yeah, I thought there was definitely a period of time when it first started taking off that I was like, oh, I am going to need to change this soon if I'm ever going to change it. And then that did not happen. And now this is, I live with it.
It's so much better.
It keeps me humble, you know, having like professional news yes. anchors and interviewees have to say the name out loud on national
it's
television.
It's the best. And they all do it in such a... I was watching a couple of your interviews, like maybe it was like Today Show or Sunday Morning or something. And they were like... You could tell they wanted to know the answer, but then they have to be all smiley and like professional and just positive about everything. And I was like, this is so good. It's like you're trolling them in real time.
Yeah, I'm not giving anybody any help. You know, you have to negotiate that part of the interview yourself.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Are you in Atlanta?
I am. I am in Atlanta.
That's cool. I like Atlanta. I lived down there for 18 months and had a wonderful time.
It is a fun time. But, and anyway, thank you for what you do. I remember in the beginning of the Great Quar.
The Great Quar.
Finding your Instagram page and being so relieved mm-hmm. to have someone explain things to me because the information was so crazy at the time. So
yes.
Thank you. Do you want to hear about this aphrodisiac mushroom?
Yes.
All I want to hear.
Yes.
Okay. This was sent in by Tall Blonde. And this there's like multiple. And the reason I wanted to start with this one is because it is a good example of, like, there's one study about this and it's not explained. And then I found a woman who wrote something for Discover Magazine.
Seems
and
real.
It's an amazing story about this fucking crazy mushroom.
Okay.
Anyway, this was sent in by Tall Blonde at That Blonde Bombshell on Instagram. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
So I will try and just, I'm not going to read this. This is this article in Discover Magazine was written by Christy Wilcox.
The best.
Christy Wilcox is fucking cool as shit.
Love her.
She heard about this. She'd like read it. It got, I think, I Fucking Love Science put a thing up about it that said, like, there's this Hawaiian mushroom that grows on lava fields that gives women spontaneous orgasms.
Okay.
So she's like, I'm going to go find out where this information came from and what it's all about. It is. There's one study, and it is an actual scientific study published in 2001 called Spontaneous Female Orgasms Triggered by the Smell of Newly Found Tropical Dictyphoria desva Species.
Okay.
And it's written by these two guys. She tracks them both down. They both sound like straight lunatics.
Yes.
Like, one guy's just like, I can't be talking about this. I'm invested in this. It's been 15 years since he wrote this study. But apparently it says that like 50% of women who smell it have an orgasm, like right there. And that's published. Go ahead.
This study win an Ig Nobel Prize because it seems like it should have.
I know. It does seem like it should have. We just covered the Ig Nobel Prize a couple weeks ago, and I love the Ig Nobel Prize. It's such a great idea.
Also, this guy should be talking about this to everyone all the time. Like, yeah, I'm surprised he doesn't have a backpack.
How are you going to get funding if you're not talking about it?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Apparently, he's involved with one of the, in the article, he says, I'm involved with one of the pharmaceutical companies. And she's like, which one? He just goes, one of the big ones.
Mm-hmm. Sounds fake. Not real.
Yeah. He sounds like a con man. But this is an, you guys should go read this article. This woman, she lives in Hawaii already. So she actually goes and finds one
Love
of these
that.
Mushrooms. They only exist for 6 hours from like the time that they're birthed until the time that they die.
We're getting more mythical here.
Yeah.
It's getting more mythical.
Cool.
She actually finds one. She gets down. She, like, smells it and almost vomits. It smells so bad.
Well, we all get off in different ways, I guess. So,
and then they did, like, some testing where, like, she, like, smelled it before it. Like, they took her blood pressure beforehand and then took her blood pressure afterwards, and her blood pressure was elevated after smelling the mushroom. But it smelled so bad she would only do it twice. So, like, they didn't actually figure it out. But so it didn't work for her, but still there is the possibility that this is a real
Yeah,
thing.
But I would like to see what metrics they're using for measuring the orgasm, because is it possible that those fucking nerds are just mistaking women wanting to vomit with actual
Look,
pleasure?
She's coming. No, that's just puke, man. That's that dick-shaped mushroom smells awful.
Yeah.
That's a crazy thing to brag about. Also, I don't believe this is real, because I think if it was real, we would all know about this and hear about this, and it would be on the cover of Cosmo. It would be like Katy Perry holding a basket of them on the front of Cosmo magazine. This seems too good to be true.
Also, it is weird too, of like the just the history that science has of like not using female
right.
study, you know, like not studying the female body whatsoever. All of their studies are done on like just college age men.
Classic.
So they're probably just like giving it to a bunch of guys, and they're just like, yeah, this will make chicks squirt.
Also, the reverse is true for art classes. When I was in college, they would have like fine drawing and stuff, fine arts, and I heard that they paid pretty well to sit there nude, and I was like, oh, I'll sit there nude. I need the money, and it was like $200 for the hour or whatever.
$200 in college? Is an amazing amount of money.
Woo! And they were like, I called Smith College. It's an all-female college in what town is that? Oh my gosh, I'm blanking.
That's okay. We can.
That's hilarious. I
never look it up.
It's close to where I went to college. They were like height, weight, and I told them, and they were like, oh no. Like, they were like, we need women's bodies. Like, men's, like, young men's bodies are just, like, straight lines. And they were like, this will teach them nothing. This will be like as if they were just drawing pool cues. They're like, yeah, we're fine. We're good without you. And so I had to get a job.
I have a fun live nude drawing story.
Give it to us.
It's third hand, but I still love it. My brother-in-law tells this story, and I fully believe it, that one of his friends, who I know, who I have met, that's why I believe it, in college, there was a live nude drawing class. And so on the door, said, you know, do not enter, like, live drawing class in session. And he changed the sign to free pizza. Come on in.
Oh, that's too good. That's so good. I love that so much. I was doing a show in Hawaii. I was on the North Shore, and one of our crew members was a woman named Stani, and Stani lived in Hawaii year round. And I told her that I was flying my parents out for Christmas, so I was going to spend Christmas. My parents had never been, and she did the funniest thing for 2 weeks. She would tell me something. She'd go, Scotty, if you're going to the Big Island, there's this lava tube, and underneath there is crystal clear water. There's some natural black sand from the lava breaking down. It's the most beautiful place on the entire island. And I'd be like, that's amazing. Where is it? She goes, no, locals only. You can't go. And then she'd be like, Scotty, there's this drive where if you get a 4x4, you can drive through the North Shore, and then there are these small bananas, and when you eat them, they taste like apple. They're sweet. They're delicious. And I was like, where is that? She goes, no. Locals only. So she would tell me, like, you know, every couple days, another thing that, like, oh, you got to check this out. And I was like, Stani. And then she would tell me as if she was going to be like, here's the coordinates. I'll drop a pin. And then it was local. She's the best.
The power.
A fly just flew into my mouth.
Yeah, Kurt was
down
flipping
my throat.
Yes.
I thought you were just laughing so hard.
I did too.
I almost vomited. It was the most disgusting thing has ever happened to me.
Like,
ever
a mushroom.
In my life. It was a big fly, and it went into my mouth. And as I was inhaling to laugh, and then I inhaled the fly, and
Laurel's a specialist in airborne pathogens. Is Kirk going to die or what?
I'll sort you out.
Yes.
It's a real big one.
protein, buddy.
How has your life changed since COVID fame?
It's weird. I got a P.O. box because we were trying to save the USPS, and I thought people would send me, you know, just like postcards and stuff, which they do, and I love. They also send me stuff. I'm currently sitting next to a giant box of Doritos that someone sent.
Nice.
It's probably 100 packs of Doritos that I got, so that's pretty cool.
Yes.
Are you known as a Dorito lover?
Oh,
are you a Cool Ranch?
I was actively campaigning to get sponsored by Doritos. They're playing hard to get. We're pivoting to Cheetos. It's okay. They had their chance.
Do you want to give us your P.O. box? Because we can ask our bananimals to mail you some Dorito flavors that you love.
That is very sweet, but I have not made it anywhere near through this box, and my apartment's only so-
If you're looking for a sponsorship, I do have a jacket in my closet that is a Doritos jacket that was given to a friend of mine for making a commercial for Doritos that went to the Super Bowl in like 2005, and then he gave it to me because he didn't want a jacket that said Doritos, and now I wear it all the time.
Please tell me it's made out of windbreaker material or leather.
It sure is.
Oh, beautiful. Topo Chico gave me some stuff, and I asked them if they had swimsuits, and sadly they said no.
There you go. I'm holding up a Topo Chico right now. That's my go-to bev when we're doing
it. We got to stop. You guys got to get paid by these brands if we're going to keep talking about them.
No, we have food delivery and home security and mental health. That's the, for some reason they're like these two guys. Those are their hot areas. They're like anything party related. They're like no, nothing fun. Let's just do the stuff, the survival stuff, please. And we
Scotty,
love it.
Give us another one.
You got it. This is from NBC New York. This was sent in by Allison. Allison, I'm going to do my best with your last name. It's either Poetsky or Po. It's P-O-E-T-S-Z-S-C-H. So I'm going to say Putsky. Allison Putsky sent this in. Thank you so much. Man pleads guilty to starting an inferno while trying to forge a sword in his backyard. We've all been there.
As you do.
Yeah, where else are you going to forge it?
It's got to melt steel.
Yeah, you can't do that in the den.
You're not doing that without an inferno.
A 51-year-old man who started a downtown inferno. Just great words. When he was trying to forge a sword in his backyard in a burn barrel, has pled guilty to arson in Albany County Court. John Gomez admitted Wednesday that he started the blaze in November that destroyed or damaged nearly two dozen buildings in Cohoes, just north of Albany. The blaze started when embers blew into into a nearby building. Oh, man. Authorities said that Gomez was trying to bend metal to make a blade in an attempt to imitate the History Channel television series Forged in Fire. His TV, it's going to kill us all. His attorney, Chris Ritchie, said Gomez is incredibly remorseful about what happened. Gomez faces a year in jail when he is sentenced, and he has agreed to pay restitution, which hasn't yet been determined. So there you go.
This is the best. I love a real specific hobby. Have you have any hobbies? Have you taken up any in Quar, Laurel?
No, I mean, I sew. And That's good. So I do that always, and I go way too far for Halloween every year.
Saw your Halloween costume for this year. It was amazing.
Thank you. But this just makes me think, like, of all the things you could choose to imitate that you saw on TV.
Right.
Why?
Yeah, he's obsessed with Forged in Fire, apparently.
Also, what my big question is like, was he starting with a sword and then just beating it into a different sword? Because
yeah.
I just don't think you're just getting pieces of long metal.
Gutters,
not these days.
The building.
Oh, a gutter sword. Yeah, also, like, you know, if you go over to a man's house for the first time and he has a sword, let alone any type of sword on display, just get out of there as fast as possible. He's probably got a weird-looking wiener in a waterbed, and you just don't need to deal with that in your life. Just roll out. Swords are not a 2020 thing.
My friend's ex-boyfriend is actually known for carrying a wooden sword around. He's an adult male, and he
ex-boyfriend.
And I hope somebody tells him that I said that about him.
A wooden sword. That's just a stick. He just carries a stick everywhere.
It's a thick stick.
Thick stick.
Gosh, dodged a bullet on that one, or he dodged a bullet on that one.
Sure dodged that one, so.
I love these kind of stories, too. We've done a couple before where, like, gender reveal parties have lit things on fire. Also, that there was a huge one in California from that. But it's like, the funniest thing is when you watch somebody try to start a fire in a wood-burning stove or fireplace or whatever, and they struggle, or a campfire, and they're struggling. And then something like this happens, or just everybody has like an aunt or an uncle who just fell asleep with a cigarette and the curtains just explode into flames. It's so insane that like this guy he was just banging on a barrel and some metal, and then it floats into a neighboring building and an inferno.
Destruction,
This is actually, total destruction.
It's making me think of one of my favorite almost burned it down stories, which is a little bit intensely dark, but I have one of my really good friends worked as a funeral director for years and years. And
sure.
What you learn working in the funeral business is that if you were going to cremate a bigger person, it needs to happen at the beginning of the day. Because if you do it at the end of the day, the crematorium fire is already really hot and fat base immediately liquefies, catches on fire, and flows out of the crematorium, nearly burning the entire building down.
No way. Really?
For real.
Holy shit.
That's my favorite story we've ever been told on Bananas Laurel. That is fantastic. I love that.
And it's also fascinating that it has to be like not so hot.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Hot,
like
if
you need
a instantly liquefies and then it's lava and it will go out and burn everything.
What?
Oh my god. That is amazing. Of all the funeral home stories I have heard, that is number one.
That's great. I'm going to use that. I write horror movies, and I'm going to put that in something. Whoa, that's so
100%
cool. Amazing. Amazing.
Let me tease you with this one before we take a break.
Tease us before we have commercial sponsorship.
This pale, sweaty robot hand wants to take romantic walks with you.
What? Oh, bananas.
What pale, sweaty robot hand does it?
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Just a reminder that we got great merch, and you should go get it. It's brand new. We got that sweet Christmas hat. Snow hat. That's what it is. A snow hat. We got a pint glass. We got a rocks glass.
Yeah, tumbler glass. Also, keep sending them to me. The Bananas phone has been lighting up with people showing me that they're getting our rocks glasses. They're making cocktails. It's awesome. Thank you, guys. That's great. You know, get drunk in style. Bottoms up.
That Scotty will be answering the banana phone until he no longer will. That number is 213-214-7974. You can talk to Scotty for exactly 1 minute, and then he'll hang up on you. He now has a Bluetooth banana that is actually attached to the phone.
Yes.
I have one of those.
Well, let's call each other sometime.
Yep, it was a gift to my brother-in-law, and my sister said, I don't want this thing in my house, and I took it.
Hell yes.
And, of course, our guest today is Laurel Bristow. Thank you for being here, Laurel.
Thank you for having me.
Are you working like 7 days a week these days? Is that what's happening because this is like go time?
No, I think it's going to get crazy in a little bit, but we went.
Oh, fun.
We're following the trend. You know, we went up and then it goes down and we go down and then we go back up.
Well, thanks for being here.
So are you still working as a researcher?
Yeah. Oh, I'm in the hospital every day. Yeah.
Oh my God, you are. Wow.
Mm-mm-mm. And did knit that blanket behind you? Because that quilt is fantastic.
This is what's known as a Gigi blanket. This is my aunt's husband's mom was a tiny Italian lady and a prolific crocheter. And so everybody gets Gigi blankets all the time.
Wow. Oh my God, amazing.
It really looks good. I really like that design too. Little circles like that.
Mm-hmm. Kurt loves little circles. We all know it. You heard it here first, folks.
It's the main thing about me. That's why I have that tattoo.
Old tiny circles, Kurt.
Stipples.
That's what it says right across my back. All right. This pale, sweaty robot hand wants to take romantic walks with you.
Okay.
This was published on CNET.
Heard of it.
Okay. Here it is.
Seems
sometimes
real.
This is written by Leslie Katz. Thank you, Leslie.
Oh, Leslie. Best at typing about hands.
Sometimes you just want a warm hand to hold, but there aren't any around. At
True.
Least not any connected to humans. That's where a new robotic hand out of Japan comes in. It's covered with a soft, pliable gel to feel more like skin than machine, and when you squeeze it, it squeezes back. Four engineers from Gifu University created the motorized device to let users, quote, experiencing holding your girlfriend's hand more easily than finding a girlfriend, which has got to be the saddest sentence ever typed in the English language.
Yes.
I also would like to say probably if... I would say it's probably easier to find a girlfriend than it is to design a robot hand that feels like a human hand. Mm-hmm. Like, I just think they're putting their efforts in the wrong place, if that's really the desired result. So it is called, in its current form, it's called Osampo Kanojo, quote, my girlfriend in walk in English, is a cumbersome looking wearable contraption with wires and a track that might detract from the romance of long leisurely strolls. But though a disembodied hand can't take the place of real inamorata,
of course,
its creators have taken several steps to increase the realism. Here's the creepiest part. Are you ready for it?
I love creepy.
A cloth inside the hand emits the fragrance of a woman's shampoo. Sounds of your virtual girlfriend's steps and breathing and the rustle of her clothes play through an accompanying app on your smartphone. And if you want the warm hand to seem a little nervous, definitely a sign it likes you. You can even make it sweat. Just add a damp cloth between the heater and the, quote, skin, and bits of moisture escape.
What is happening?
Pores in the material.
What is this?
I don't know.
This is Disneyland for perverts. The attention to detail.
Yes, my God.
It's Disney. It's Disney Lonely Land, is what it is.
That would be a cool place in Epcot if there was just lonely. When you go around the world and it's just guys drinking alone, holding a robot hand. Wow, that's insane.
Just divorced dads eating over the sink.
Yeah, all the tables are just sinks. Oh gosh, so hold on, I don't understand the wearable part. I thought this was just a hand that you like threaded your finger. I was picturing a hand that you just put your hand into, and then of course you can walk it down the beach.
Yeah, it's a hand. Yeah, and then it ends in this very upsetting stump where the wrist should be, and then with just like a ton of wires that come out of it.
This seems great. There's nothing wrong with this whatsoever. I've always wanted to be cremated. Back to, you know, they'll have to burn me last, I guess. And I always thought it'd be interesting to get your hand bronzed, like how they used to bronze baby shoes and stuff. Yeah. So that I probably won't have kids ever, but if I ever did, I would just want that hand sitting by the door so you would have to shake my hand when you were coming into my son or daughter's house to be like, meet my dad. And he'd be like, hi, Scotty. But even that that's going to be cold. You know, I want it to be like the hand of death, not some warm, fragrant hand.
It's a crazy thing to spend so much time on, really. That's the most upsetting part for me.
Yes.
And is anyone really getting fooled? Oh, there's another thing in this which is kind of interesting. This is the next paragraph I didn't know anything about. That the hand comes from Japan, land of robots for every occasion, shouldn't come as a surprise. Japan also has seen its share of virtual girlfriends, with one resort even becoming a vacation hub years back for guys who like to treat their digital dates to sun and fun getaways.
Oh my gosh.
This is like men who take their real dolls out to dinner.
That's right.
I think so. I think that's exactly what it is. This is some real. This is a real doll hand technology.
You can't afford the whole doll, just the hand.
Just the hand.
Yeah, that's weird to me because it's also like there aren't. Well, maybe there are. Maybe I don't know. But it doesn't seem like there are women engineers and scientists designing man's hands. But maybe there are. Maybe I'm wrong. But this feels specifically dude creepy to me.
Yeah. No, they're designing like monoclonal antibodies and cures for cancer.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, they're saving the world.
But you guys at the corner be like, we make a hand sweat.
It smells like Pert Plus. And they're like, okay, I don't know any woman that's worn that since 1978. Oh, God. They're really getting into it.
There is a fascinating... Go ahead, Laurel.
Well, I'm just wondering, like, they invented a hand. They claim it's for holding?
Mm-hmm.
Are we believing that entirely?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Until you said that, it had not even crossed my mind.
Somebody's
but this is 100%.
If it's not the intent, somebody's trying it.
Yeah, this hand, it's going to have a job soon.
Yes.
If it's unemployed now, it's going to have a job.
Yeah, and hopefully not on a public beach if anything goes well.
Keep it private.
Keep it private, guys. Hand. Yeah. Build a curtain. Build a walking curtain to walk down the beach with this thing. All right, you guys want one?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. This is interesting. This kind of... Kurt and I do a lot of big, dumb stunts just for the sake of absurdity. This is sort of a version of that. This was sent in by Nick Hudson, narrator. Thank you, Nick. And this was from the independent.co.uk, written by Helen Coffey. We love that Helen Coffey.
Ms. Coffey.
London friends are shocked to get bookings for the, quote, world's worst Airbnb. So, these two, a pair of friends who have their own YouTube channel, set about creating the world's worst Airbnb on purpose. It's a mattress in the middle of the field with a nightstand and a lamp next to it. The photo is fantastic. It's under a tree. So Reese Simmons and Jamie Kamaz videoed their prank for Passion Squad. I'm not sure what that is. The Passion Squad channel. After finding it hard to find an Airbnb property at the right price, their intentionally shoddy offering consisted of a mattress, a bedside table, a lamp, and two wine glasses filled with water. And they obtained for free on Facebook Marketplace. So they just picked this stuff up. Having used the Null Stern Hotel in Switzerland, known for its outdoor aesthetic, as their inspiration, the pair described the property as being created in the image of, quote, one of the most exquisite and unique hotels in Europe. It has easy access to wildlife, fresh air, and peace. Although they didn't expect anyone to actually want to stay in their alfresco pad, the duo were surprised to receive numerous inquiries from prospective guests. Myself and my mates came together to create the worst Airbnb ever, Simmons told The Mirror. We gathered a terrible load of items we found on Facebook and created a terrible Airbnb experience. But to our surprise, when we uploaded this thing on Airbnb, we had an insane amount of interest for people to come and stay at our establishment. This is an insane accomplishment. I love saying insane. To create the worst Airbnb in the world and get a crazy amount of requests is saying something we'll never forget. It is a mattress in the middle of a field. But I can understand why people wouldn't want to do this. Like, minimalism, there's entire series on tiny houses and stuff. People love this kind of thing.
Where is it and how much is it?
That's a great question, and I will look this. Oh, it's a field in North London.
Okay.
And let me find the price. Maybe I can find just a field. The picture is fantastic.
I mean, at this point right now, I'll take it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, aren't we barred from traveling to England anyway at this
point? Yeah.
Like, I would take it if I could get there.
Also, what's the most
you would pay? I just want to go anywhere.
Yes.
I want to do anything at this point.
What's the most you would pay for this experience, Laurel, to sleep in a mattress under a tree in a North London field?
Is it in British sterling or US dollars?
Let's go British sterling. Let's go pounds for this.
Oh, my gosh.
What's
the exchange rate currently?
It's about 1.5.
1.5?
Mm-hmm.
For this experience in North London, it would be nice to know which zone it was in. I went to school in London, so I'm a little familiar.
Cool.
But I'm going to go with 30 sterling a night.
Okay. So about 45 bucks.
Yeah.
You would go 45. I would do it, Kurt.
Yep. 45. I take it.
45. You're sleeping outside. It's alfresco. It's beautiful.
It's a reserved camping spot in London.
Yeah.
Yes.
That mattress is soaking wet at this point. But you know what? You bring a tarp. All right. So are you going to, like, as this kind of evolves and everything, do you think you'll become like a full-time science communicator?
That's a good question. I mean, I'm enjoying it. I really have been surprised at how much I like translating complex ideas for people and
also
being an absolute ding-dong on Instagram and people loving it. I nearly broke my foot the other day because someone asked if I could do a handstand and I was like, all right, let's try it. So I would certainly like to keep doing it. But the fact is, like, I like my work and I also have legitimacy from the work that I do. So I feel like if I completely gave that up, I'd be a little bit of a sham. And also, I also just don't like people whose whole lives depend on their Instagram presence. Like, that gives me hives. Like, I don't want
to. Oh, yeah.
I really enjoy what I do because if I decide I don't like it or it's stressing me out, I can walk away.
Right.
My life is not, my income is not contingent on it. So I think I would definitely like to, you know, I think I'd like to be like a Sanjay Gupta, you know, he's a neurosurgeon and he's also on CNN. So he can just balance it. But I'm very lucky that my work is very supportive of it. So
Once went to a birthday party in LA and Bill Nye was there and he had ridden his bike there and he never took his bike helmet off the entire time he was there. He was there for 2.5 hours, and he
pretty
never took
his
bike off. It was amazing, and I was
pretty
like,
on brand.
Never took it off. Good head of hair on that guy. I don't know what he's doing.
I bet you he forgot. Sometimes I forget I have a bike helmet on.
Yeah, it was that's my kind of LA party. Nobody wants to see the crap celebs. You want to see Bill Nye in a bike helmet just socializing with people for 2.5 hours. I love
weird celebrity stories. They're so fun.
I know.
What's your weirdest celebrity story?
Well, it's not, I mean, the celebrity's not being weird, but the sentence structure of telling the story is my favorite, because I get to tell people that, I believe she's Academy Award winner, if definitely nominee, but we'll go with winner. Academy Award winner, Marcia Gay Harden told me I look beautiful on the flying trapeze.
Ooh. Whoa. Were you on the flying trapeze when it was happening, or was she drunk?
Screaming at me. It was when I got back up on the ground, but yeah.
That's a hobby.
Was that at a gym, or were you performing?
I worked at a summer camp when I was 23, and I was teaching, and so we did a demo performance, and her daughter was a camper who was in the like circus show. And so after the show, she told me that I looked beautiful on the flying trapeze.
Wow, you actually did trapeze work with kids? That's crazy.
It was fun.
There was like a trapeze setup at the camp?
Yeah.
Wow, cool. I've done it once, and it almost ripped my arms out of my body.
Yeah.
Like, you have to fully, you can't, like, there's no muscle. It's not like holding yourself up. It's like just straight hanging, and it's, for me, it's terrifying.
Yeah, that's my fun. Yeah. That's my fun celebrity story.
That's pretty good. I mean, the fact that she took the time to be like, you know what, I'm going to pay this young lady a compliment. The one that's been up there just trying to go from one swinging thing to one swinging thing. That's pretty. Marcia Gay Harden. You know what? Academy Award winner.
She forgot her trapeze, which was fun. She went, you look so beautiful on that. No, thank you.
Oh, thank you so much.
The big swing. You guys ready for another one?
Oh, heck yeah.
We've had some news. We've had some science-y ones, so I figured I'd cap mine off with woman demands free Chick-fil-A after claiming she's an FBI agent, gets arrested.
Okay.
The title had me laughing, but free food isn't worth getting arrested over. This is from OzarksFirst.com, the quality
the
reporting
number one.
Of OzarksFirst.com. Mm-hmm. This is written by Michael Holland. Authorities arrested a woman in Dallas, Georgia, after she allegedly tried to convince restaurant workers that she was an FBI agent and should get free food.
Yes.
Even when police officers arrived, the woman apparently continued to claim she was a federal agent. Kimberly George Ragsdale attempted to get free food from a Chick-fil-A, pretending to be an FBI agent. The Polk County Standard Journal reports.
Polk County.
Employees were apparently not convinced, called 911 to report the woman. According to the news outlet, this is not the first time Ragsdale has attempted to get free food and has threatened to arrest employees when they don't provide the food, which is, I love if you're going to lie, you go about it boldly. When officers arrived, Ragsdale reportedly continued to claim she was a federal agent. She allegedly told officers that she had no identification because her credentials were electronic only.
Smart.
That's such a nice detail.
Smart. Hard to prove.
Officers placed Ragsdale in handcuffs and arrested her. She reportedly pretended to talk to a supposed radio in her shirt.
She's a genius.
Reporting that she was being arrested and that the FBI needed to send someone to the Rockmart Police Department.
Oh, God. Sign her up for the FBI.
It sounds like even keeled, but obviously she was not relenting in the fact that she deserved free food for being an FBI agent and stuck to it, probably aggressively, to the point that they had to call the cops. Because no one's calling the cops just because someone, like, oh, I think someone's impersonating an FBI agent. Like,
yes.
It's making a scene.
She sold it. That's right.
Blowing that cover.
She is really selling it. Also, I love just the threadbare connection of I am an FBI officer, therefore I get free Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, like, you would be much better off to be like, I'm a nurse, I just got off shift on a corona unit, like, give me some freebies maybe, but FBI, like, why would an FBI agent deserve that?
Yeah.
just say I'm an undercover boss. I own this thing. And just I'm going to make you guys look good. The camera crew's in the parking lot. Just give me a number one with two waffle fries and Polynesian sauce, and I'm out of here. And people be like, okay, undercover boss. That's a pretty big show. That's a pretty big deal. We should probably do that for this person.
I work for the FBI, the Food Borrowers Institute. You need to give me food.
Oh, man. Good old Georgia. The best. I lived in Atlanta, and Passion of the Christ was the hot movie when I was there. It was packing theaters around the country. So I went with my then girlfriend, and we went to Cobb County, which was just north of Atlanta, and it was slammed. Like, we had to buy tickets ahead of time. There were security. There were like five different theaters. It's probably like eight theaters in the whole thing, and five of them were Passion of the Christ.
Why
we go
was
in.
A Passion of the Passion of the Christ was big because like church leaders came out and said it was like heresy or something. Like, why did people give a shit?
No, it was like an insane marketing thing where Mel Gibson paid for it himself, and then he sent it to church leaders and stuff, more like, I'm telling the honest version. Like, this is what really... And so people came out in droves, and then, you know, he's a anti-Semite and a crazy person, and he makes really popular movies. So he's a interesting problem. So we go, and it's packed, and we get these two seats, and we're pretty deep in the back. And by the time it gets spoilers, there's a whipping scene where they're whipping the shit out of Jesus. And the woman next to me is a middle-aged woman crying her eyes out. This entire movie, she's bawling. But during that scene specifically, people are gasping and crying. And then I hear a crunch, and I look to my left, and in between sobs, she's dipping nachos in cheese and eating them, and then covering her mouth and sobbing deeply, and then dipping a nacho and crunching and sobbing deeply. People are yelling, praise Jesus and oh Lord and, you know, our Heavenly Father. And this woman just, you know, she was hurt what happened to her Lord and Savior, but those nachos are pretty bomb.
That's a bargain. That liquid cheese is really good. Also, yeah. Oh, you're telling this story and I'm listening and it's so good. And also, the only thing running through my head right now is Keanu Reeves as Johnny Utah going, I am an FBI agent.
No.
The
it
best.
Is crazy, his acting in that movie. Most of his acting is crazy.
Love him so much.
But that... Oh, it's the best. I mean, I really... Keanu Reeves is actually, like, a very likable person. The more I learn about him, the more I'm like, I can't make fun of him seriously anymore. I have to kind of respect him.
Yeah, me too. And also, Laura, when Kurt and I were in Brooklyn 10 years ago, 15 years ago, one of the most popular shows at this place, Galapagos, was called Point Break Live.
I've seen it. Do you remember this, Kurt?
Yes, and the Bananimals who haven't heard of Point Break Live or haven't seen it, the concept is they do a reading of the entire movie with actors, and then they cast the role of Johnny Utah, played by Keanu Reeves, with just some random person in the audience so that they're the worst actor on stage. It is so funny. It was amazing. I loved it.
Is it actually the entire movie? Is it really just like the whole movie?
No,
it was in Brooklyn.
No.
When I saw it, it wasn't word for word. It was very close. It was an abridged version. But I think my favorite part is the skydiving scene, because they put the person from the audience in a harness with the person who's playing Cody, and they suspend them from the ceiling, and then they just spin them and make them fly at the same time.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, that's so good. God.
Smart. Scotty, send us home.
Okay. We're going to stay on chicken theme. I have a chicken one. I'm scrolling. This was sent in by several people. Joe Roger That. Thank you, Joe. And Aaron Erdman were the first two. This is from the Taiwan News staff editor, Keone Everington. Thank you, Keone. You're the best there's ever been at reporting. Taiwan teen woken from 62-day coma by words chicken fillet. So... An 18-year-old miraculously awakens from a 62-day coma after hearing his favorite dish, chicken fillet. I mean, call the FBI. So in Taipei, a young man who had been badly injured in a traffic accident and had been in a coma for 62 days became conscious when he heard his brother mention his favorite dish. In July of this year, an 18-year-old man surnamed Chu was involved in a road accident while he was riding a scooter. Scooter, super dangerous. People don't think it. They rent the Vespas in Europe. Crash. Kurt, you got one?
My friend Bill Walsh. Scooter, he was in a coma for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Laurel, you ever crashed a scooter in paradise?
I've crashed a scooter in San Francisco.
Same diff.
That sounds like paradise to me. scooter in San Francisco? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's easy. You don't want to walk those hills. Chu was rushed to the hospital where he was rated with a coma index of 3. Doctors performed emergency surgery and were able to stabilize
it. If you don't know, the Glasgow coma score, 3 is the worst.
Oh, it is?
That's like you might not come back is what we're saying.
That's like not responsive to pain or voice or anything. Yeah.
Yeesh. 62 days is, that's a very long time.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. Doctors performed emergency surgery, were able to stabilize his condition, but he fell into a deeper coma. During hospitalization, he underwent 6 operations. He had a lot of operations. It's a crazy amount of things. I'll go with the easiest one to pronounce. Liver repair. A nurse at the hospital recalled that Chu went through a constant tug of war with the god of death. So that's good when your nurse is talking like that. And with his family by his side, praying every day that he would wake up soon, the nurse said that when he was on his 62nd day of the coma, his older brother suddenly joked, "Brother, I'm going to eat your favorite chicken filet." Unexpectedly, Chu's pulse began to accelerate, and he miraculously began to regain consciousness, and his vital signs began to stabilize. Having fully recovered and been discharged from the hospital for some time, Chu recently returned with a cake to thank the medical team. Very nice, Chu. That's what you have to do. More thank you cards in this world. And credited his recovery on their timeless efforts. So... chicken filet. That's all it took for this guy.
It sounds like it wasn't just the promise of chicken filet. It was that his brother was going to eat his chicken filet.
Dangling in front of him like a carrot. It's
sibling rivalry is a very strong thing. Do you have any sisters or brothers?
I do. I have an older sister and an older brother. And I am thinking very specifically of a time where I was pretending to be in a coma. And my sister told me she was going to eat my lunch. And I woke up real fast.
Wait.
Yeah, I was half only child, but also I have 7 brothers and sisters, but all from different ladies. So my dad's he just loves to fuck.
He loves having sex. Hates condoms.
He loves it. And so I was, I didn't have a brother or a sister always with me, but I do know what it's like. But now, because I have 2 kids, and my son is 1, and my daughter is 3.5, the fucking it's every moment of the day. There is a concern about what one person has and what the other person does not have.
Oh, interesting.
It is really intense. I will watch my son go over, pick up one thing, and then from across the room, Olive sees him and then just runs over and rips it out of his hands.
Yeah.
It is so intense that just base desire.
Yeah.
What two words would wake you up from a coma, though? What two words would you have to hear to get to pop awake? Your vital signs snap back to life.
Well, I don't know about words, but there was a TikTok that was very popular just not long ago of someone in a coma, and it was Hayley Williams doing the high note from All I Wanted for You, the Paramore song, woke him up, and I was like, that is believable.
Yeah.
Wow!
He really just sang the hell out of that note.
Back in New York, there was story. Go ahead, Pretty.
Was that was the TikTok of literally just someone in a coma and then being woken up by the music?
Yeah, I mean it was not a real coma; it was a joke coma for the. That was the premise. Was the only thing that brought him out of the coma? And I was like, you know what? I believe it.
Yep, believe it.
Yeah, in New York, there was a guy that woke up out of a really long one when the Seinfeld theme song came on the TV in his room. It was like, bang, 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 and he just popped awake, and they were like, well, Seinfeld saves another life. I grew up in Maryland. On this podcast, Laura, we talk about Maryland more than any other podcast. There could be a podcast that's called Maryland Facts, and we've hit it more.
Yep.
And because I grew up there, I played lacrosse like every little white boy does in Maryland. And one day I was kind of off. Sometimes in life you just feel a little off. and I was standing there. We were doing the pregame sort of warm-up drills, and suddenly I felt the hot breath of a grown man talking in my ear, and I looked, and it was our goalie's dad, who was not a coach. I think he was known as a pretty hard-drinking Irishman. And he had just wandered out onto the field during warm-ups. And yeah, I'm just feeling a little off. And he leans, you wear helmets in lacrosse. And so he leans into the ear holes of my helmets. He goes, "Scotty, what do you think of this?" Just drunk as hell. He goes, "Rattle a little louder. Rattlesnake power." And then just walked away. I have to give you a little context. We were called the Lightning, so we weren't called the Rattlesnakes.
Okay, that was going to be my next question.
And then after that, we called ourselves the Rattlesnakes. And to this day, I say Team Rattlesnake all the time because rattle a little louder, rattlesnake power. Those two words snapped me back, and I scored several goals.
Yeah, wow.
Oh, my God.
Inspiration.
He gave you the magic.
He woke me from my little 11-year-old coma, you know? God, rattlesnake power. I'll never forget it.
His drunk Irish power.
He just felt compelled before the game started to go scare the shit out of a, you know, prepubescent kid. And then just wandered back over to the sideline and watched the game.
You know, he had a feeling and he followed his intuition and it worked out.
Exactly. The bold choice is the right choice when you don't know what to do.
Well, Laurel, thank you so much for being on Bananas.
Thank you so much for having me on Bananas. This was great.
Yeah. Tell us something that people can look for
the gram.
Online, something that's coming up, a gram, anything like that.
Yeah,
words of hope.
You want to join the party? My stupid Instagram name is King Gutter Baby. That's KingGutterBaby. We do a lot of COVID information. I talk about the studies that come out, help you understand what matters and what doesn't. And then on Saturdays, I post the answers to the dumbest possible questions people want to ask me.
Ooh. Oh, that's great.
So you're welcome to join that. You're welcome to hang out.
Yes.
You have to remember it's my personal Instagram, so I'm also going to post about whatever I want in between, but it's good fun. We
you
have
should.
A nice time.
That's great. And the only COVID question is, when is it over? When is it over? Give us a day.
You tell
a year.
Whether yeah. Wear your mask.
Give us a year. thanks for everything you're doing, too, and honestly, saving lives is... we all owe you a great debt of gratitude, and so thanks for taking an hour to talk to us. We really appreciate
Thank
it.
You're
the banana of the week. I don't think we've had a guest be banana of the week.
That's right. Laurel Bristow, banana of the week.
You're the banana of the week.
What does that mean?
We're Nothing. Just going to send you Doritos, honestly. That's,
Yay,
gonna, it's, that's all you're getting.
That.
Bananas.
Bananas. This has been an Exactly Right production.
Produced and engineered by Katie Levine.
Theme song by Kehan Amati.
And all of our artwork is done by Travis Millard.
So please follow us on Instagram at The Bananas Podcast, where we post so many more stories than make it here.
And you can share with us your strange news story by DMing us on Instagram at The Bananas Podcast.
So listen, subscribe, and please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bananas.
Bananas. Bananas.